I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, what can you do in 13 seconds? Well, you can solve a Rubik's Cube, you can win a UFC title match with one knockout punch, and you can gut-wrenchingly and heartbreakingly lose a game, a divisional game, against the Chiefs. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. Matt and Alex here. And really, Alex, totally, how are you actually feeling about that Sunday?
I can't. This is why I hate sports. Only at moments like this, but the jubilation, the excitement, the happiness at 1:56 on Gabe Davis touchdown number 3. And then the frustration at Tyreek Hill touchdown. And then the absolute euphoria at Gabe Davis touchdown number 4. And then the absolute deflating feeling of knowing we're going to lose as soon as we lined up for number 1 with 13 seconds left. I'm like, they're not playing defense correctly. They're going to kick a field goal. They're going to get it. And it just, I'm cowering behind my couch watching the Bills give that game away. And when the coin toss was flipped, what did you call?
I actually call tails. In a game I play, like an app game called Stick Cricket, and it always has the toss. And all the time I go tails, and majority of the time it is tails. So I've always done tails.
I am always a tails guy, but 2 nights ago I said heads, and son of a bitch. Doesn't Josh Allen have like an amazing win percentage on coin tosses too?
He's like 10-1 at the end. After it was 10-0 before that toss.
God damn. God damn.
And he won all, and every toss that he won, he actually he won. I think the Bills won.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I'm not upset about the coin toss or the overtime rules because that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm upset about what we could control, and we just didn't do a good enough job, and it's so frustrating.
I mean, we're having a discussion. I obviously see a lot on Twitter about it. I mean, people calling for Frazier to be sacked. I spoke to you and you said you're kind of in that boat.
Yeah, I'm in the fire Frazier boat just because when we played a good opponent, the defense didn't stack up. Now, given that was only 2 games in the regular season, 1 in the playoffs. What Tampa Bay was able to do to us. It's so tough because we played Kansas City properly the first matchup in week 5, but that was so long ago. But they had issues. I mean, they were missing pieces on their defense. Their offense was in full flight. So we played them well that time. But it just seemed like, in Frazier's exit interview, is it, well, we didn't have Trey White, and that's the excuse? Because you can't use that. And I saw, there was a lot of conversation about, you know, if we had Trey White. You know, one of my good friends back home, whom I really respect his opinion, he did bring that up. And I think that helps on that long Tyreek Hill touchdown, because I think he keeps up with him.
Yeah.
But I think my biggest issue with Frazier, last point on Frazier, the defensive scheme that we took into this game was the 2 high safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are our 2 best players on defense?
Hyde and Poyer, our safeties.
So Frazier's best idea was to essentially just have them be like blockades instead of players active in the play. My biggest frustration with Frazier is that he took our 2 best defensive players and he said, just go hang out back there and make sure nothing happens. Hyde and Poyer are playmakers. They're ball hawks. They make plays. They were taken out of the game by our own defensive coordinator. The only time I ever saw Hayden Poirier make a play was when they were chasing someone down. Bothers me the most. They victimized our very average middle linebacker. They knew exactly what he does poorly, and they exploited it. And we didn't have an answer because we took our two best defensive players out of the game.
Yeah, no, I get that. I know, and that people know that playing too high safety and all that is actually is a way to really limit the Chiefs on the big plays. Okay, yes, they got Tyreek Hill got to see that 64-yard touchdown right in those 13 seconds. They got two big plays on there, but other than that, what was Mahomes really didn't get in the swing of actually throwing anything over 25 plus, did he?
Okay. But
so in essence, there they did.
Kelce had 8 for 96. Hill had 11 for 150. Even minus that 64, that's still a pretty good day.
Yeah, but did he go? But we're talking about stopping this, the really explosive over-the-top plays like it took, like we did with Gabe Davis on a couple of those long balls. Actually, gone and had a couple over 25 yards. If we can limp, I think the idea, and I say the Bucs did it when they played their two high safeties. Okay, they had more talent in at linebacker and a little bit more oomph on the rush. But they've seen, and we've seen a couple of times where teams have played like two high safeties against the Chiefs, that they have been able to really limit it, what the Chiefs do in the air. And for us, it's just trying to get that pressure up front to condense it and actually put more pressure on this defense, on the offense.
Okay, so we have those two safeties all the way back there. How does Tyreek Hill make that play for 64 yards with 1 minute and 2 seconds left in the game?
Missed tackle. Did you see he actually had Levi Wallace covering him, and Levi Wallace could make the tackle.
Yeah.
And then the fact that I was watching it, I watched it again this morning, or just that last little clip, there were a couple ones where there were a couple of tackles that just weren't made. And that was to me on some of these plays, not just that Tyreek Hill one, but other ones where the tackling was piss poor.
Yeah.
You're in a championship game. You're actually there to stop a defense. You've stopped them quite a few times. But on some of the most meaningful third downs and obviously a couple of the big plays, the tackling was shit. You couldn't tackle for the love of God, which gave them more impetus, more encouragement that they could go on and score, get into field goal range. I mean, on that, I can't remember what drive it was. I was actually watching. They had one drive. I think it may have been in the overtime period, where they had Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Ed Oliver, and F.A. Obada all lined up for three of the first four snaps. Mm-hmm. Or the first four snaps. Three of those were incompletions in those four plays. On the fifth play, they put in Rousseau, Epinesa, Basham, and Harrison Phillips. What happened?
Mahomes didn't have a single incompletion in overtime.
Okay, that must have been the 13-second drive. I can't remember which one it was.
On the Tyreek Hill 64-yard touchdown, he was incomplete, then Kelce for 11. Then incomplete for McKinnon, and then the Tyreek Hill play.
Okay, sorry. That's the one. I knew it was one of them. I just couldn't remember which touchdown it was. But you're thinking there, you work that way up. Why didn't you keep it a little bit more? You actually then put in, no disrespect to Harrison Phillips, obviously, and all that, but you've put in a rookie at defensive tackle, a rookie, a second year guy, and a third or fourth year guy. Where you've had, okay, Obada is like a three-year, four-year starter, or rotational starter. Ed Oliver having a great game. He got two veterans that managed to, in three of those four snaps, even that one to Kelce, they only really got 11 yards. They were actually managed to contain and actually put more pressure on. As soon as they actually mixed it up, and this is the one thing that I think maybe McDermott's got wrong in there. He always wants to rotate the front four to keep it fresh. I understand why he wants to do that, especially for later in the game. But if there's one time where a combination is actually working in a series, unless it's actually a designated run game or a designated pass, I don't really think there was a need there to change.
Yeah. It's frustrating because in a game where we had the lead twice in the fourth quarter, there's quite a bit to nitpick about. And I hate to do that because...
Oh, yeah. I think everyone does, to be honest. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what happens after a loss, right? You try and find where did the loss happen. Was it not being able to stop them at all in overtime? You know, what happened there? Why did that happen? Was it, you know, the Tyreek Hill 64-yard touchdown? Was it early in the game when we were running the ball way too much? We had touchdown, punt, punt, touchdown, punt. And, you know, that's ugly, kind of, you know. But yeah. I'm not here to pick on the offense. There was a little bit of early frustration, but I loved how we handled it. It was we went into halftime tied. And in the third quarter, you know, we had a game plan of doing exactly the opposite of what we did in the first half. I think that we played that properly, you know.
Yeah,
Kansas City great for the most part in check in the first half.
What
we allowed them to do in the fourth quarter.
The one thing that got me annoyed was obviously the first half, first quarter, McDermott was aggressive on the fourth downs, fourth and one and fourth and one again. And then the second half, we had a fourth and one, okay, at our 34-yard line and punted. The Chiefs were up at this point. On the resulting drive when Chiefs got the ball, they went two scores up. Now, you trusted Allen early on a fourth and one. They managed to get the first down. You would think that being a championship game, yes, you think your defense probably could have held. We wouldn't, at the time, we probably wouldn't know what happened because obviously seeing it now, they didn't. But at the time, you know that you probably could hold them. I would have, even if it was a case you give them a short field, there's always that chance either way that whether they get it from a punt or get it from a short field, that they could score something or you could stop them. And we've done that in red zones to them in that game. But I was hoping it'd be a little bit more aggressive. It's lay on a line. It's a big matchup. It's a divisional matchup where you want to prove you've got the balls to do it. And yes, I can understand why he's gone a bit more conservative and towards the second half being a bit more conservative, trying to win it that way. But if he had been a little bit more aggressive on that play, on a couple more plays, I think there would have been a complete different outcome. And we always say that hindsight is 20/20. Hey?
Who are you criticizing here, McDermott or Dable?
On that one, on the fourth down plays, I'm criticizing McDermott a little bit because he was aggressive in the first and actually a bit more conservative on that fourth and one in the second. But then I was reading somewhere that obviously Tyrann Mathieu was out from the first, pretty much first drive of that first half.
Yeah.
Why did it take us, and he's one of their best safeties, why did it take us till late third, early fourth, then start sending the bombs down?
Yeah, that was the turning point right there, that drive. I see it here. Allen to Gilliam for 7 yards. Second and three, Singletary, 1 yard. Third and two, McKenzie on a rush for 1 yard. Fourth and one from our own 34 punt. And it was, I mean, a 42-yard punt, shitty, and then return of 15 yards, so it was barely anything, you know? So if you're trying to do field position, understand that you don't have a very good punter for that situation.
Yeah.
I you know,
you look at the hindsight. You look at the hindsight. Look, it's what you could have done. What you could have done when you watch the game live, and then obviously when you're watching the replay, to what actually happens in game. Obviously, situation is different. Pressure is a little bit different, but it's hindsight, as I say.
What I want to talk about and talk through is how deep into your own zone do you go for it on fourth and one? Where is a reasonable point where you're okay with turning it over on downs? I think our 34-yard line is a little bit too close. You know, I think I go for – it's so silly to think like, oh, on our 40, yeah, maybe we go for it, not our 34. What, 6 yards, you know? Like, I think the mentality needs to be on fourth and one when you're down against a great offense like this. And here's the thing. You've only had them – score 14 points, seven, because they just kicked the field goal before. Held Kansas City to 17 points through the third quarter. You're telling me that you're not trusting your defense at this point?
Yeah.
That's why we punted. Now, if Kansas City scored a touchdown in their previous drive, we had them kick a field goal from our 21-yard line. It was fourth and 11 due to an offensive holding penalty. But if they score a touchdown on that drive, we absolutely go for it on that fourth and one. It's game situation. I'm not bothered by that punt.
No, I think
because at that point the defense was holding up.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Maybe I'm being a little bit harsh on actually fully criticizing him.
Well, as but you said, it's hindsight.
You kind of see that is somewhere where something that you think. The time of the game, yes, okay. I think 35-yard line, 34-yard line probably is maybe borderline where you want to actually turn over on downs, because if you trust your defense and they've held them to 17 points and all that, you would trust your defense even if they missed it on that third and that fourth and one.
Yeah.
So again, it's swings and roundabouts. People will moan and complain about that. People will complain they didn't. So I think everyone has their own opinions. And at the end of the day, I think just putting it out there onto Twitter and social media that everyone has an opinion on how they play. Our job really is just to try and weigh up the pros and cons of each and all that. But everyone has their own opinions. And we may not agree, we may agree. But I think it's just one of those in the moment when you're there at the game, you're just there thinking, okay, yeah, maybe he was right to actually punt. And then when you're watching on the replay, you're thinking, okay, this is how the team have looked once you're watching the replay again. And you see, okay, maybe we should have gone for that if you did trust that defense on making a stop. But that's just how I really feel about that.
I think it's really important to balance the pain right now. So let's talk about how great Josh Allen was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Harrison Butker kicks a field goal with 8 minutes and 58 seconds left. We're worried, right?
Yeah.
There's 8 minutes left. And I'm thinking to myself, if we score in an average drive time, then Kansas City gets the ball back with 3 minutes and the game is over.
Yeah.
What we did was we went on a nearly 7-minute drive. It was perfect. It was exactly what you want from your offense. We controlled the clock properly. We were 1, 2, 3, 4 for 5 on third down, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Then Gabe Davis decided to completely murder someone for a touchdown. You know, when you talk about crossing someone up, you say they broke their ankles. Gabriel Davis took that man's soul out of his body.
Yeah.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen. And then Josh Allen on the sideline, you know, I posted that picture. We got over, you know, 1,000 likes on it, a great conversation going about what we need to do and how Josh Allen deserves, you know, to win.
Mm-hmm.
That drive was perfectly orchestrated, and the just the trust that everyone on offense had in each other to complete all of those third downs. And Josh Allen just, you know, running for two of them not four for five. We were three because we completed on two fourth downs. Josh Allen scrambles for 6 yards on fourth and four right before the new set of downs where he threw it for Gabe Davis. Completing two fourth downs, completing, you know, three consecutive third downs before then, you know, my biggest point is twofold. One, I don't know how they can emotionally recover from this loss on top of last year's loss, but what we're able to do in the clutch like this on offense really makes me hopeful for next year.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think.
But doesn't it suck that every year we always say, oh, next year's going to be great? This year was that fucking year. Look at who we had next. Cincinnati? Fuck. And then Green Bay's out. Tampa Bay's out. Oh, my God. This was our goddamn year. And McDermott and Frazier decided to hand Kansas City the game with 13 seconds left. And, man, it's already become a thing. It's wide right. It's Music City Miracle. It's no goal, and it's 13 seconds. It's already a thing. It's just, why is that our legacy? You know, why can't we just fucking get one? You know, how the hell did Kelly and those guys recover after each Super Bowl loss and go back and do it again? So because of that, I'm hopeful, you know, in this team rebounding, but fuck if this wasn't a perfect setup for a road to the Super Bowl and just.
Oh yeah, no, I
don't know if I could do this again.
I mean, we had the 30th schedule. So in the regular season.
Yeah, and what, do you want to look back to a few losses in the regular season and say this game should have been played at home? I don't even think we win if this game is played at home. Good Allen was, Mahomes was just that much better. I was all game praying, just make a mistake. Make one mistake. Get a sack fumble. Throw an interception. Get a tipped ball. Mahomes, make one mistake. And he fucking couldn't make one mistake. Damn it.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, I know everyone hates this guy, but obviously that Nick Wright, I saw an interview, his show and all that, where he actually tipped his hat off and actually said that he's going to do no more Josh Allen slandering. Josh Allen is probably one of a really good quarterback and all that. But he made a point there. If we had scored 10 against the Jags, if Allen had not slipped at that 1 yard against the Titans, there's your turning points right there. That would probably put us potentially in that first seed. So we would have that home field advantage. Mm-hmm. So you go back on there and you look at the fact that we slipped up against the Jags. We slipped up against another couple of poorish teams, the Steelers, one of them as well, even though they made the playoffs.
The New England.
You look back at some of those games. The New England. And you can see.
If we trusted Josh Allen in the first half of the wind game, we let him throw it in the second half. Why the hell didn't we let him throw it in the first half?
Yeah. I mean, let's a quick look at the schedule for next year. They've got Browns, Steelers, Titans, Packers, Vikings at home. Away, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Lions, Bears, and Rams.
12-5, 11-6.
So, this season probably was the best chance as possible for us to get there. And it's gonna sting. I think it's gonna take a bit of time for us to actually get over it. But if Kelly and the guys in the Super Bowl managed to get it done for 4 years after that disappointment of actually going to a Super Bowl and losing it, these guys should have that momentum. We keep saying it's our time next year. Next year, we'll come back stronger. You learn from your mistakes, you grow stronger, all those sort of philosophy stuff. And it is true. But now it's all how they develop it in their head and how they manage to regroup. Because this offseason, there's going to be potentially a lot of reshuffling, a lot of new players, new coordinators potentially coming in.
Yeah.
And you've got to find that to mesh as quickly as possible in that off season. But that's probably a bit for another show on there, because we could just talk ages about that. But that's something that we shouldn't really talk about now. It's just talking about what an adequate, we'll call it an adequate season that we've had. I'm not going to say it was a great season.
No, because based
on the way there,
based on the expectations, we really needed two more wins during the regular season.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating that we had to wait until essentially the last game of the season to win the division.
Mm.
But look, I mean, the division is ours. Mac Jones can't get any better. The Patriots can't retool their whole offense in one off season to be any better. You know, they could go out and get a wide receiver or whatever, but yeah, it's Mac Jones being a completely average quarterback. It's Tua being a completely average quarterback.
It's the unknown.
I want to reset and have us come back to this Chiefs game, but what more analysis can we do? You know, it's just let's try and get away from the pain of it all.
Well, let's just celebrate how well this offense actually did in the last. We'll finish it off on a high note on just how well this offense did in the last since that Bucs game, and how they started to really motor a lot. No pun intended. Singletary did have a good. Did have a good last five or so games, but just put it on there how this offense really got back to what we know it could have been. And the fact we've seen the emergence this season of Dawson Knox, we've seen from about week 9 or 10, we saw the emergence of Gabe Davis come out, a good prospect. We've got Spencer Brown making an impact at that right tackle spot. There are bright spots that we can see in this team. And yes, it showed in the Chiefs game that there were bright spots there. There was stuff that we can look forward to and what we've seen over the season, which we could be proud of. Yes, as I say, the result is going to hurt for probably a few weeks, maybe a little bit more. But this is how this is what we should do, celebrate what this team, especially the offense, how they actually managed to adapt after going through that run in the middle of the series where they were a bit off the pace, a bit one-dimensional, but they managed to pull it together, have some players that actually broke out and actually really put a bit more excitement into this team, and the way Josh Allen has brought excitement to it that we can look to next season. That's the positivity we should end it on, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that we're going to be playing January football for the next 10 years.
Yeah. And another one, okay, I it's probably a bit of a positive for the neutral fans, but you're going to see pretty much Mahomes versus Allen for the next 10 years. And that, as they're saying, is being lined up to be the next Brady and Manning and all that. Hopefully,
it's going
to
be great for everybody but us.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll turn around and we'll start getting a bit more on there. But for the neutral, we get to see it. I mean, I have respect for Patrick Mahomes, but yeah, I hate him just because of his misses and his brother who can just fucking jump off a cliff.
Yeah, I was really happy to see him stop celebrating with his teammates. He ran past some of his teammates to go to go talk to Josh. So that was pretty great.
Yeah, but I'm still rooting for the Bengals, and then the Rams. If the Rams get through.
Yeah. I'm surprised that we haven't touched on this. Why are you happy, Stephon Diggs?
Okay.
Is it okay that we didn't feed him the ball because we did Davis instead, or is it we could have won if we got Diggs involved more? Because if you get involved more, then that's less. You're forcing it to him instead of getting Davis, who's wide open. I'm okay with Diggs' 3-for-7 stat line because of what Davis did. I think that it's better off because it's a team game.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? What was the the passing stats. Davis 201, Cole Beasley 60, Manuel Sanders 16 from thing. Unless it was just, my only thing is, how was it played out scheme wise from the Chiefs? Maybe the Chiefs had a thought of actually of covering Diggs a little bit more, leaving Davis free. Maybe it was an offensive scheme. To be honest, the contributions he did, I'm happy with. I wouldn't care if he actually was held without a catch, as long as someone else broke out and someone else had some good games. And that third, last end of third quarter, fourth quarter, Beasley came to play on those six plays, really helped. But I'm not worried. Maybe, I say, it could be down to game planning, or it could be how the Chiefs decided to play Stephon Diggs at that point. But yeah. we pushed all the way. We didn't give up. We got to overtime, and that's with Diggs only having seven yards.
No, we didn't get to overtime. Kansas City got to overtime. That game away.
Sorry.
one comparison: if they took Diggs away, that forced Gabe Davis to step up. Davis is better than Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle. Wouldn't it have been great if we were able to take away Tyreek Hill and make one of those two guys step up? If we would have forced a game plan to Mecole Hardman or Byron Pringle, we would have won that game. But we let their two best players just do whatever they wanted.
Mm.
And that's why, for as beautiful and for as much fun as we had talking about how great Allen this offense was, it's that this defense had a great season taking advantage of an easy schedule. We need to get someone who can get consistent pressure on the D-line. If that's Rousseau via progression and maturity, that would be great. If it's Basham, who had a great end of the season, but it's time to what we did didn't work. Edgy Epinesa doesn't work. For as much as I like Tremaine Edmonds, he's just average and he doesn't work. And I think Frazier needs to go. We need to get someone who's a little bit more creative back there, because when facing a top offense, the defense didn't show up. And that was the biggest issue.
And I'm going to go through pretty much every single one of those 165 tweets replies that we got to that.
I just did while you were talking, and there was like five Fire McDermotts, and that's not gonna happen. That's an overreaction.
I'm looking at some of those. They make a lot of good points, and it's a very good discussion that we
there, yeah there it. Are some really good talking points in there. Basically what I just said, it was an amalgamation of what people said about what we need to do on defense.
The one thing I'm also going to say that I'm a bit it's why another reason I want like Bengals if they lose to the Chiefs and the Rams get through, is the fact that most Kansas City fans I've seen are very salty, and they're sore winners. I looked at the Arrowheads Abroad Twitter account, and I didn't really see anywhere on there where they actually praised or said, well done, Bills. They didn't even congratulate us and all that. They were just...
That might just be them, because I did read a lot of reports of Bills fans who went to Kansas City who said that they were taken care of and they were gracious hosts. Nobody really complained about actual, in-person Chiefs fans gloating or being too hard on any Bills fans at the game. There's always going to be some, a lot of people just don't mature past, 13. But it's fine. It's our mission now to shut them up. And, they deserved to gloat because Mahomes was perfect, and our coaching staff made some stupid decisions late in the game,
Yeah. But I mean, it's just the way that I don't see. I mean, most teams, when they do that, they at least have some sort of, congratulations. Yes, gloat all you will, but obviously have a little bit of
Nah, the Patriots fans, every single Patriots fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, apart from the Patriots. Patriots just complete things. But I know most other fan bases do that. But that's just me. That's just me. But hey. But do you have anything really else to say before we sign off? I mean, we could talk about this for ages.
Yeah, this is my last show living in the United Kingdom.
Oh, yes. You're off on Friday.
Yep.
Hopefully have two more episodes, and then we start officially handing over.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, have fun with that. But man, I really wish I was going to a game this weekend.
Yeah, but no, we should be back next week with hopefully a end of season review and also another show with an award show. So that's to come. And all we can say is for this season, thank you for listening. As you're subscribing, following, liking us on all socials, a big thank you to Fitzrover Bell and the Moortown Bell for hosting us.
Yep.
We'll be doing it again for the foreseeable future. And again, just thanks everyone for every single participation. Thank you to our guests. It was a good season. Didn't end the way we wanted. But from Alex, Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Continue supporting, liking, and following. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.